how the second reading corresponds to the depth of our hearts. Are we not people who are also anxious? Are we not people worried, stressed out about things, and feel like we have so much to be anxious about? And yet St. Paul tells us, do not be anxious. It sounds more difficult than it really is, but really the whole point of this, as we discuss anxiety, is to understand how to trust God. That's where we want to be. That's where we all hope to be, but to get there is really hard. And I want to pave a route for you so you understand where I'm going with this. But before we get to trust, we have to look at our own anxieties, where our fears lie, why we have so much stress, and what to do with it. Well, going to our second reading from St. Paul's letter, it starts out with this reality that we are anxious about the things of the world. And I think all of us fit into this category to some extent or another, that we are very anxious right now about the things of the world. The government, the world politics, the wars, the issues of our country, family issues, all these things are part of the anxiety that we have. We are like inundated with this almost fear coming from all these different aspects of our lives. And so in that way, we realize how much anxiety we have. But the reason why we have that is because we have this belief that we can change the world around us. We have this belief that by voting, we can change the politics of the United States. Somewhat true, but we also realize how many votes it takes to change that. We believe that we have the power to change our job or family situation or all these things. The question is, do we really? How much have we really succeeded in changing the things around us? And how much is it has just been stress and anxiety? Then when we go to our first reading, it speaks about things in the church. The church also brings us anxiety. Think of all the politics and struggles and chaos and rules and whatnot. There's so much that goes around the church. Not to mention the church has a pretty dark history. We've screwed up in a lot of places. So when we hear Moses speaking about the prophets, who there are true prophets and false prophets, and you have to pick the right one, it's like, oh no, I need to pick the right one, and now it's even more complicated. And then we go to the gospel, where you have the exact same issue with the scribes teaching, but they don't really trust the scribes, and Jesus says something different, something with more authority. Do we now trust the scribes and Pharisees? What do? More anxiety. So even the church causes us anxiety to some extent too, reminding us that we don't trust in the church. We trust in God who gave us the church. Ultimately, all goes back to Him. Lastly, to show us exactly how anxiety can stress us out in other ways, we have the demonic person from the gospel. What's the first reaction of the demon? What have you come to do with us? They're afraid. They're worried. What is Jesus, who is God, going to do with us? He could do anything. They're also anxious and worried because they know what He can do. The demons are even scared, which reminds us that true trust is not from the demons. It's a gift from God. It's something very different. So as we verge into this idea of trust, we have to start from a very strange starting point. The reality is, if we have any anxiety, we don't trust God. That came from one of the great spiritual masters. We have anxiety, we don't trust God. It's sharp, I know that. I'm not going to beat around the bush. It gets even worse. In Spiritual Combat by Father Scopoli, he says, in order to truly grow into trusting God, we have to have a complete distrust of ourselves. Which means the furthest we can get from trusting God is a complete trust in ourselves. I can change the things around me. I have the power to change the world. I will decide how things work. If you've ever tried to do that, you'll realize it doesn't work very well. We're not very good at that. And so that it starts with this very fundamental understanding that what I think is right, what I think is the proper way, what I think things ought to be, could very possibly be wrong. And I shouldn't trust that, because then I'm not trusting in God, I'm trusting solely in myself. Which leads us to the next step. Once we get to that point where we realize I can't trust myself, and in doing so I fundamentally then trust God, we start to look at places in our life where we can start to learn trust. And believe it or not, one of the starting places is right here, right now. You spent time coming here. Now there might be many reasons that have nothing to do with trusting God. One of the reasons might be, this is what I've always done. That's not trusting God, it's a habit. The other side of it might be, well, every time I go to Mass, I feel good about myself and I feel good about the week ahead. That's still not trusting in God. That's still trusting in ourselves. To trust in God would be like this. I come to Mass because that hour spent will do more good than I believe. I know that by giving God that hour, more good things will happen than I understand. Notice how he switched it all into God's realm. By coming here, we know fundamentally that God can do more with this hour than I can imagine. Same thing works with prayer. Prayer is fundamentally trusting God. You are saying, by taking this time out of my day, which I could have done so many other things with and been so much more productive, this is more productive. This is more helpful to me because God is part of it. And God will help me because I spent that time in prayer. Now, so many saints are running through my head. That's okay. One of the great ones, St. Isidore, the farmer, for all you farmers out there, he fundamentally believed that if he spent time in prayer, God would take care of it, and the angels finished his work for him, so he never had to worry about it. This is what I mean by trust. But as we continue to move through this, even the act of falling asleep and waking up is an act of trust. We're saying as we fall asleep, God, my day is done. I've done as much as I can, and now I wait for tomorrow. That's it. And when tomorrow comes, I wake up saying, the day has begun. I believe that God will help me through this day. If we linger in bed and go, oh, I don't want to get up, it's believing that it's up to me to figure out the rest of the day. It's up to me to make things happen. But to wake up and say, ah, God will take care of the day, is an act of trust. If you think I'm being silly, St. Pope John the 23rd used to say before he went to sleep every night, Lord, this is your church, I'm going to bed. Think of the brilliance of his words, how much trust was in that. He knew God was controlling the church. Even though he's Pope, he didn't trust in himself to lead the church. He trusted in God with that brilliant statement, I'm going to sleep, it's your church. That's how these little aspects of our life become ways of trust. Even the very aspect of eating is an act of trust. Because let's be very honest with ourselves. You're going to have food. It's there. We have full pantries. We have food in abundance. The stores are open. Restaurants here aren't open, but that's a different story. Nevertheless, there will be food. You will have food to eat. We are too affluent of a country to not have food for all of us here. So, just realizing that there will be food tonight is an act of trust. It might not be what you wanted, not might be what you like, but there is food. You won't starve. And worst case scenario, you'll find it. Yet we spend so much time being worried about finding places and times for prayer, making sure we have food, planning out our meals, all these things. It'll work out. Which leads to the third stage. After we realize there are already places in our life in which we trust God, then we begin to actually trust him with little things. What we end up doing is we go to the really big things first, though. Oh, Lord, I need a job right now. Please help me find new employment. What ends up happening when we do that is we say, God, I want you to solve the problem, but in my way. I want this kind of job. I want this much pay. I want it to be like this. And so I'm going to look for that kind of job when God might be telling us something very different. And so when we really do try to trust him with big things, we don't end up trusting him. We end up hoping that most of it was on our end, that we can fix the problem. That's why we must start with the little things, the little inconsequential things, the things that have no bearing. Because these little things that have no bearing, we're willing to truly give over to him. Because we don't care about the consequences. Sure, God, take it. Do whatever you want with it. I can take whatever you have for me. And as we realize through these little acts of entrusting him with the small things, we start to realize he's good. He's truthful. He will help us. His ways are better than my ways. And that's okay. And then we start to trust him with bigger and bigger things so that when something that really big happens, we know how to give it to him. We know what to do with it. We know what we're looking for. We know how to truly give ourselves completely. Because ultimately, once we get to this point where we entrust him with more and more of our lives, and even more so our entire lives, our lives are filled with peace. Why? Because there's no room for an anxiety. There's no room for worry. Everything's taken care of by God. What do I have to be worried about? And then as that peace permeates our life, so does joy. Because we're happy. Everything's working out. Everything's great. What is there to be sad about or upset about? God will take care of it. That's why so many of the great saints, their lives are permeated by peace and joy. Because they have that fundamental trust. Good example, St. Teresa of Lisieux. She radically trusted in God, but it took her time. She loved to be at work at a task and work from beginning to completion and be done. God had a different plan. He would say to her, I want you to go do this right now. So she'd get up from her work and grumble about it and go finish what God wanted her to do and then come back and work on her project. Then God would say again, nope, go do this instead. And she'd get up and grumble about it. It's so human of us too, that we don't like being interrupted from our normal tasks, but God wants us to trust in him and will find ways to help us. Because, as St. Paul says so eloquently, we should not be anxious. We should not be worried. But it takes time to get there. We have to move slowly, slowly entrusting more and more to him, finding the ways in our life to build that trust so that we do realize at a core level that God is good. He wants good things for us. He is trustworthy. He will help us, and he'll make everything work out if we trust in him, if we give everything to him, if we realize he's there for us.